Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
I want to make sure that I'm fair about this. Okay, it's really important that I'm fair. The last 2 years previous to this, with Dak, without Dak, the Cowboys hadn't beaten a team that ended the season with a winning record. They'd been bad against anybody who's any good. And so I think it's a fair barometer when you're looking at what they've done this season to say the Buccaneers lost. Granted, week one of the season was a good team. The Chargers win on a late field goal. I think the Chargers are a good team. Eagles have become a decent team, but I don't think anyone thinks their talent is at the level of the Cowboys. Same with the Panthers, same with the Giants, same with the Vikings. They beat the Patriots in a close game, and the Patriots have turned themselves into one of the kind of sneaky sleeper teams in the AFC. Of course, they didn't have Dak, and then when Dak comes back, they laid an egg with the Broncos, smacked the Falcons, scored 9 points against the Chiefs, and lost to the Raiders. So this year, looking like almost every year with the Dallas Cowboys, where unlike the past two, sometimes there's head-scratching losses and exhilarating wins. But I'm left watching last night's game, and again, I'm realizing you don't have CeeDee Lamb. You don't have Amari Cooper. You know, you did get Tyron Smith back, and they're so much better when they have that dude at left tackle. But you're playing against a Raiders team that, outside of the emotions of losing Henry Ruggs, they had to get rid of Henry Ruggs, who was a huge piece of what they want to do in terms of taking off the top of a defense. They lost their head coach and essentially their czar of football in John Gruden. They're coached by a guy who, although he seems like a very good guy and it's in a great story, everybody just keeps telling the same story. Man, he's so grateful to have the chance to be the head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders. But it's not like he's going to be a candidate for any job. They're coached by a guy. They're coordinated by a guy. They're just kind of held together here to keep from the brink of disaster while they got to figure out who's going to run this franchise at the end of this season and in the near-term future. And that's who the Dallas Cowboys lost to. Now, you can tell me that Dak was good enough to win, and I would say you're probably right. You know, you're probably right. He didn't kill you. And you could go back last week and say, well, when they lost to the Kansas City Chiefs, he didn't have his left tackle. He didn't have his star wide receivers. He didn't. He still scored 9 points. And for perspective, Aaron Rodgers took his team into Arizona, a team that before and since has proven to be one of the elite teams in the NFC. Like, we can all be deniers of the Cardinals in terms of their chances of winning a Super Bowl, but we're far enough into the season. We've seen what they've done to good teams and bad. With and without Kyler Murray, they've won football games. And go, you know what, Arizona, they may not be the best team, even though they have the best record right now, but they're a damn good football team. And Aaron Rodgers, without any sort of normal weaponry, with a completely sick wide receiver room, found a way to win a game. That's what the best of the best of the best do. They just find a way to win the game. It's why I've said this before on this show and on many shows, Aaron Rodgers checks every box, even boxes that Tom Brady doesn't check, with the exception of one. Brady's teams find a way to win games. What is the point of playing a sport and we're keeping a score if we don't find a value within winning these games? And the point about Dak is we all want him to be a superstar. We want him to be an MVP. We want him to lead the Cowboys back to the promised land because it's such a great story. You know, a guy who even Mississippi State passed on several times over, and then finally at their team camp, they're like, all right, fine, yeah, we'll take him. He goes from really a runner in college to a really good college quarterback who many people thought that's about the peak of what he gets. He's the third string quarterback, if not for Kellen Moore, who, by the way, is calling the plays right now. Kellen Moore gets hurt. Then Tony Romo gets hurt. And so when Romo goes down, is not going to play, and Dak's a rookie, he gets to run the ship of the most talented offense in the NFL, and they win 13 games. You know, last year, you bet on himself, gets a huge contract. Now, we love his leadership. Everybody likes Dak Prescott. There's nothing not to like about Dak Prescott. But here's the thing. It's just not great. You know? It's kind of par for the course for everything in the Cowboys. And it's really good. It's not great. Ezekiel Elliott is really good. But he's overpaid. He's not great. Amari Cooper, even when healthy, really good. He's not great. Mike McCarthy, they hired the resume there. No one thinks he's a great coach. He's a good coach, you know. Can't really manage a clock. Doesn't call plays. Not really sure what's going on, but he's a good coach. They're going to be good. They're going to make the playoffs again. They'll be fine. It takes great to win those games. It does. And it reminds me of, here we are Black Friday, and you got people scurrying about. And we get so caught up. And look, I'm just as guilty as you are. Right? Like, I have one kid with a TV in their bedroom. One kid. And it's like, man, do we really want the TV in the bedroom? But the TV is like my oldest TV, and it just went. And so when you start to, whether it's today or Cyber Monday, you're looking for a deal. Like, man, I got in this bad habit of, instead of looking for what's the best possible fit TV, how I want to do it, it's, ooh, I could save $350 if I get an out-of-box, you know, $700 TV. Yeah, you could also just go get a regular TV that's not out of the box for like $400 and put it up on his wall and be done with it. There's your Christmas present, Christmas, Hanukkah, New Year's, birthday, you're done, right? Throw in a little Xbox S, which, like, yeah, everybody wants it. They still can't get it. Not because they're not make. I don't know what the deal is. The point is, you get that TV home that you got out of the box, and you're like, well, there's a reason that it was out of the box, right? There was a reason that somebody took it home and was like, nah, I'm going to take this thing back. Maybe it's too complicated to set up. Maybe it's hard to do the smart TV thing. Maybe it's, you know, it's the best of the best from 2 years ago, and there's all this new stuff. Whatever it is, there's a reason somebody took that sucker back, right? Dak Prescott's a good quarterback. There was a reason he was around the fourth round. Okay? If he was out on the free agent market, I don't think he would have gotten what he got to sign with the Cowboys. There wasn't a hometown discount. Instead, there was like a hometown spike. But if you look at if you judge who's the best quarterbacks in the NFL, why would you consider Russell Wilson over Dak, even though Russell hasn't played as well? Like, because generally throughout his career, Russell has done great things, has found a way to win those games. Aaron Rodgers the same, Tom Brady the same. While Dak is really good and a really good leader and was a really good value. Now he's paid like the best, only he's just not the best. And just like if you want to say, well, I could have saved $50 on an inbox, very new, top of the line, you know, one of those 4K everything TVs. Instead, I went out of the box to save $350. And turns out that TV, pain in the ass. And not compatible with my bracketing that I had up over my fireplace or in a kid's bedroom, right? There's just something. There's a reason. There's a reason Mike McCarthy has left the Green Bay Packers, and they're better since he left. So I look at the Cowboys, and I'm not necessarily disappointed. Or maybe I'm doing the parenting thing. I'm not mad. I'm not mad. I'm disappointed. But the reality is, this is what we should expect. Right? The best of the best, could they use Amari Cooper or CeeDee Lamb? Hell yeah. Of course they could. That would help. But the best of the best, the Aaron Rodgers, they're MacGyvers back there. Well, we don't have Amari. We don't have CeeDee Lamb. All right, well, give me a stick of butter and just give me a dead body from the... Give me somebody that was in the XFL and then stitch him together and put him in the X and then put Jimmy in the Y and let's go, right? Like, they just figure out a way. They just figure out a way. This is Mike McCarthy talking about the game.
28 penalties. I don't know what the hell you want me to say.
I mean, look, the penalties were bad, but the Raiders had a ton of penalties as well. Here's Jerry Jones talking about the Raiders' use of what he calls a throw-up ball.
Oakland took advantage of the situation. I call it throw-up ball. Right way to play a game like this, just throw it out there and get a penalty.
166 yards of penalties. Yeah. What do you make of that?
Well, this will probably be arguably the most watched game other than the Super Bowl. And I hate it that it got down to just throwing the ball out and getting penalties to get your big plays.
Here's Derek Carr on some advice he got from his former coach, John Gruden.
I think one thing I've tried to do this year, especially when 11 was here, you know, was I was going to be so aggressive. It leads sometimes to, you don't complete as many balls on a percentage chart or whatever. But Gruden used to tell me, don't ever take your arm out of the game. So when we call these things, let's rip them, you know. And so we saw some things on film where hopefully we get some looks. Hopefully we can get some one-on-ones down the field. And we were able to find some of those, you know, and have a, you know, an explosive day.
There is, by the way, an art to throwing that deep ball and throwing it just slightly short, right? It used to be when we were kids that you couldn't overthrow a guy. But, and this goes back to the Super Bowl and Emmanuel Sanders when Jimmy Garoppolo overthrew him by 10 yards. If you ask football people, they'll go like, not only did he miss, but he missed in the wrong distance. You're supposed to miss short there. Then in man-to-man, you get PI because the cornerback runs through you because he can't turn around to see the football as you come back for it. That's what Derek Carr did a great job of last night, is reading the coverage and actually in man-to-man. Yes, Jerry Jones is technically correct. It is throwing it up, but there's an art to throwing it just slightly short if you don't complete it. That way you have the tendency is in man-to-man for the cornerback to overrun it. Right? You see Tyreek Hill get these all the time. It's not that Pat Mahomes can't throw it deeper. It's just not the smart place to throw it, or you get PI. But like, look, we could go through the penalties. The Raiders had just, it was an overly... over-officiated game. But that's not the reason the Cowboys lost. Was there a bad roughing penalty? Yeah. I mean, Micah Parsons is at like knee level and Derek Carr's head drops to it and gets slightly bumped, right? And there's a bad PI penalty, whatever. But it shouldn't have been in that. We're looking at the final score. The Raiders had the game won several times over, give up a kick return touchdown. Like, it should have been a Raiders easy cruise to a blowout. The Cowboys made it closer late than it really was and sent it to overtime. So let's not act like penalties won that game.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Welcome in. This is The Herd. I'm Doug Gottlieb in for Colin. Hope you're having a really good Black Friday. Did you guys see the fight on the field between the Cowboys and the Raiders? Not just during the game, but after the game, they're like shaking hands and all of a sudden, you know, everybody's like broing up and then dudes start throwing down. It was interesting. I saw this story and I thought it was just really interesting the Chicago Bears, many have wondered, why Matt Nagy why the 180 that he made in terms of wanting to start Justin Fields. You know, because forever he had said, you know, this is the plan. George McCaskey instructed, you know, Matt Nagy to start Justin Fields when he decided to start Justin Fields. I mean, remember, even when Fields saw the field as a starter when Andy Dalton went down with a knee injury, Nagy insisted that Dalton would take over as a starter when he was healthy. So then in week five, you're like, wait, why did he name Fields the permanent starter? Why do you think? Because owners own. That's why. Owners own. So I have this kind of working hypothesis, which I talked to somebody in the Bears organization. They were like, well, there was no meeting that we're aware of that he was going to be fired, you know, after Thursday's game. So they win yesterday. They beat the Lions, kind of survived the Lions. And when they beat the Lions yesterday, it was kind of emotional after the game. And I think the guess is, and here's a reasonable guess, if there was no meeting, right, so there's no code red ordered, essentially. There's your Few Good Men reference for the day. If there was no meeting, then how did it come to be printed on patch.com? Granted, I know generally when you're looking for your sports news, you go to any of the notable websites, including patch.com. Because patch.com has whatever the local pothole situation is, school board updates, and apparently the future of Matt Nagy as the head coach of the Chicago Bears. But it was it a completely erroneous report? What's likely? What's likely? What's reasonable? For a franchise that's never fired a coach in season, what's a reasonable guess? Reasonable guess is that he's dead man walking. Everybody knows it. And somebody made a flippant remark to somebody else saying, you know, if you lose to the Lions, don't you gotta fire Nagy?
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Brandon Whedon joins us, and I want to talk some Dallas Cowboys. I want to talk some NFL, but you also cover college football, and we're a great college football player. And you took our alma mater to a Fiesta Bowl win over Andrew Luck and the Stanford Cardinal. What is that like to walk into the Oklahoma game, though, knowing like now it's 90-18-7, the mentality of like the Oklahoma State finds a way to lose to Oklahoma every year. How do you get out of that mentality?
Well, I think you got to be aggressive. I think that's kind of been, in my opinion, the issue as of late. Just a little conservative, and they've got talent down there. I mean, it's Oklahoma; they're a good football team. But you know, this year, the way that Oklahoma State's played, particularly on defense, is as aggressive as they have been, coming after the quarterback, blitzing, just really being a dominant defense. That's a recipe, man. That will win, and that travels. So I think. You know, I think hopefully this year's a little different. This is a game that I think that Oklahoma State is built to win. Oklahoma's, you know, not really found an identity on offense lately, and Oklahoma State defense has been dominant. So, yeah, this game's bigger. It's just bigger than the rest of them. I mean, the week's bigger. I don't know. I always felt like I was prepared going into games, and you know, as far as watching tape and studying and all that. But I always found myself maybe doing just a tiny bit more this week of Bedlam, just because you get bragging rights for the rest of the year, and you know, you just don't really like those guys down there. So it's a big week for Oklahoma State, and you know, a lot of guys' legacies will be kind of done by this game.
Okay, so when you had your great team, the narrative was, yeah, well, they won't be able to stop anybody, and that spread offense is, you know, only works in the Big 12. And this team is different. This team is built, the defense is off the charts good. But they're going to question the level of competition, right? In terms of who they played out of conference, how good the conference actually is. And then the offense has been kind of slow to catch up, some because the quarterback was out to start the year, he was injured, but some because they run it more than they throw it, and it takes them you know, usually half the game to wear down the other team. And then, you know, in the second half, they're able to run the football and kind of beat you up late. Do you think this team, do you think they can compete at the very top in the college football playoff?
I think the question's on the offense. I think the defense is good enough to compete with the majority of the offenses across the country. I would say they're the big deal is if Spencer doesn't turn it over. With their ability to run the football game or football the way they have, you know, for the last really 5-6 games, you know, that you do that, you score 24, 28 points, you feel like that's enough to win games with that defense. So, yeah, I mean, I think they deserve to be in the conversation. I think they've shown, you know, pretty much week in and week out down the stretch here in the most important time of the year that they're playing their best football. So, yeah, I mean, and I don't think it's a biased take. I really do. You just turn on the tape or you turn on the TV and watch this team play. You know, the offense isn't flashy like you're used to seeing Oklahoma State, but they play complementary football. They take care of it. They run it. Eat a little clock, a little conservative. They know they have that defense. So it's just kind of a little bit more of a, you know, an NFL-type philosophy. With, you know, it's like these teams that have dominant defenses in the NFL, they know they don't have to score 50 to win. So it's it's taken me some time to get used to because I've watched every Oklahoma State game for the last, however many years, 15, 16 years. And, you know, we're used to seeing high-flying offenses and good defense, but the defenses still give up points. They've been pretty opportunistic, but we haven't seen a defense like this, and the recipe for winning has been a little bit different. But it's still fun to watch. They're a good football team. I think they can compete with pretty much anybody in the country.
Doug Gottlieb for calling us the Herd. Brandon Whedon is our guest. Of course, you started at quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys. They lose yesterday. They do send it to overtime. They had a nice comeback. And I realize that they have, you know, you have injuries for your two best wide receivers, and you're not going to look the same. But I don't know, is it unfair to go, hey, Aaron Rodgers didn't have his guys and he goes down and beats Arizona? You know, last week, I know they're depleted with injury, but 9 points against the Chiefs. Am I wrong to be disappointed in the Cowboys' offense and Dak Prescott's inability to win some of these games?
Oh, I mean, you said, I mean, you lose your two best receivers. I mean, that is a tough blow. There's no doubt. But with that being said, Ezekiel Elliott has been MIA, man. I mean, that dude kept, whether it's, it doesn't matter. I mean, the guy, I know he's beat up a little bit. I understand that. But, I mean, Tony Pollard has kind of been the horse for that team. You know, Dak hasn't played terrible. He's played pretty good football. You know, they're not winning these close games. And, you know, I don't know. I caught a majority of the game last night. I didn't catch the entire thing. But, you know, it sounded like, and from what I saw, just the plays I watched, I mean, just the offense had a hard time, you know, getting chunk plays in the passing game without CeeDee Lamb and Amari Cooper in there. So it's tough, but they got to get the run game going. You know, I mean, that's, in my opinion, the biggest deal. They got to find a way to run the football. It sets up everything they want to do. They love doing play action. Dak's good at play action. That's how they like to take their shot. So without the ability to run the football, I mean, like I said, Zeke has kind of been not, you know, not his normal self. And, you know, I think that's affected the offense more than anything. So, no, I mean, they're a good football team. They're a good football team. They need to pick it up or else the Eagles might slip up and catch them in that division. But they're a good football team. Just, you know, again, it's kind of, they got to be frustrated, you know, these close games and not finding ways to win.
When you watch Mac Jones and how they've kind of designed this thing, there's a team, you talk about complementary football, conservative on offense, outstanding on defense. Do you think there's a ceiling that's above just making the playoffs? Like, can that last in the NFL?
Yeah, I think so. Mac Jones is, I mean, he's shown to be probably the best quarterback in this draft. And, you know, he's a guy that, again, he's like, I'll make those splash plays. It's not going to be, you know, sexy all the time, but it's just, you look up and he's, you know, 21 of 28 for 240 yards, two touchdowns, and they win, you know, so. It's he's a solid player. They play really good defense. You know, they have the best coach of all time on the sideline, so that's going to give them an edge right there. And they're going to be prepared. So yeah, I mean, yeah, I think they've got the makings. I think they're running the football effectively. You know, Ramondre, what's his name? Stevenson. I think Ramondre Stevenson. He's shown to be a beast. So yeah, I mean, they got a good recipe going. Everybody thought the sky was falling when when Brady left. They had a couple years there, but you know, I think Mac Jones is the answer. I think you keep these guys on defense together. It's a pretty good unit on that side. So it's they're better than I anticipated with the rookie quarterback. I didn't anticipate that they would be this good so fast. But man, they are they're surprising a lot of people, and I think they're going to make a run. I'm not saying they're going to win at all, but I think they're going to be there late into the postseason.
Okay, help me out. Hey, Baker obviously now is under some pressure. His wife puts on Instagram, you know, like he showed great toughness. You know, like some of the other guys on the Browns need to get tougher. Like then he doesn't do the post game presser. He calls out the fans that booed him as the same ones they got to quiet down when they're driving. Like now he's with the knives are coming out. He's getting defensive, but the big one is his wife making a comment about questioning everybody else's toughness in that locker room. Whether Baker said it to her or not, that's going to be assumed, right? This is pillow talk. This is what they talk about when he's at home. Can you fix that if you're Baker?
Oh, I mean, you can fix it. It's just not a good look. There's been several examples of guys' families doing these types of things. I think it's a bad look. I mean, it's just one of the main negatives of social media in general. But, you know, that's – I don't know. I'd worry about, you know, taking her phone away and not literally, but you know, just saying, listen, I mean, what we talk about, what we do, that's between us. You know, you can't spread that out for everybody, especially with the media, and they want to twist and take everything said and run with it. It becomes a story. So yeah, Baker has done a pretty good job lately of, you know, not lately, I guess, because of the Odell stuff, but in his career of avoiding distractions, you know, for the most part, he's got a little better. He's saying and doing a lot of the right things, but this one's tough because you know that people are going to speculate that, you know, like you said, he's telling his wife this stuff so that she puts it out there. It's just not a good look. It's tough. I mean, no man wants to be questioned on their toughness, and I think that's one thing of a lot of guys in the locker room that, you know, are playing through injuries. Like, look, dude, man, we know you're beat up, but I've played however many 11, 12 games, and I'm just as beat up as you are. So it's. It's a bad look. It really is. I think it's just something that I'm sure that they regret. Obviously, she regrets it. She took it down. But, you know, think before you press in, man. This whole social media thing has kind of become a joke. And it's just a good outlet for the media to take stuff and create a story and blow it up. It's just not what locker rooms need, man. It's just one more distraction that you just don't really need right now.
Completely agree with you. Brandon, hope you had a happy Thanksgiving. Get after either some golf or some shopping. We'll talk soon.
Man.
All right, that's my boy Brandon Whedon, of course, first round draft pick of the Cleveland Browns, starting quarterback of the Browns, Cowboys, and the Texans, and superstar quarterback at Oklahoma State.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Doug Gottlieb in for Colin. This is the Herd, Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio app. Wherever you may be and however you may be making this part of your day, thanks so much. So the Bills go and stomp the New Orleans Saints. But the Saints, I mean, I don't know what's going on there. Like, what was the Taysom Hill thing? I guess he's still the third quarterback. He's coming off an injury, but they extend him this week with a new contract. That's a dynamic I don't know. Obviously, they're completely banged up with injuries, too. But the Bills did get a win. They did look good. Here's Sean McDermott when he was asked the difference between this week and Sunday.
We executed. We haven't always done that. I mean, we've gotten sloppy, I feel like, at times. And I felt like in the first half we were sloppy at times. And then we picked it up in the second half. So, listen, it's not always going to be exactly how you draw it up. But I expect more. I really do. And that's the standard that we have here.
I like it. I like it. I mean, there's a little, like, you know, what went viral throughout the week was Nick Saban talking about his team and college kids and how people aren't happy with a win because they didn't blow another opponent out. And he's basically like, you don't think these kids want to win? Is the college kids, whatever. And then on the other hand, you have Sean McDermott like, look, we have a standard here and we're not holding ourselves up to it. Now, some of it's the difference in college and pro, but some of it's also the real talk, the realness of what really goes on. And I think Saban, when you're in a locker room, it's the same thing, right? There's a standard you have to hold yourself up to. It's hard in the NFL because as much as in college you say both sides are trying, the difference in talent is not as great in the NFL as is college, right? Like the reason Saban, and all, you should never leave a great job in college is because, you know, it's Ohio State or Texas or Alabama, USC. When you're rolling, you have better players than the other team 9 out of 10 games. You might have, the Bills have better talent and they're better at quarterback than many of the teams that they play, but their quarterback's still very relatively inexperienced. But the difference is not nearly as great. Like when you're in Alabama, you can have 40 kids, 40 or 85, maybe even more, will play in the NFL, okay, on your roster. Whereas another team has 5, you know, or none, you know, or 10. But a 4-to-1 ratio, you know, I mean, it's a massive upset when you win that game. I like that McDermott is pushing for more. I like that they're holding themselves to a higher standard. And I think it'd be fair to say Josh Allen has not lived up to that standard over the past couple weeks, although yesterday he did look the part. So, it's the more you watch, the more you pay attention, the more you realize that what New England was able to establish, what Pittsburgh has been able to establish in terms of consistent, what Baltimore has been able to establish, a culture of like, hey, not playing well is not okay. Not doing the right things is not okay. Those great franchises, and frankly, it's the same thing in college, they hold themselves to a higher standard of like, well, you know, we lost that one, but we won another. Or, yeah, we won it, but we won it by 3, but the most important thing is we won. Yes, it's important to win, but if you hold yourself up, this is a lot like process over result. You know, if your level of preparation, if your level of intensity, if your level of attention to detail is at a high level every week, if you prepare, then more likely than not, you're going to succeed more often than not. If you don't, the opposite is true. The opposite is true. Okay. There's a lot. There's NBA games kicking back off tonight. There's a huge college football weekend. I know Colin has his picks that he'll put online. I'll give you a couple of mine later on the show. Later on this hour, Charlie Weiss is going to join us. We'll ask him not just about some of the pro stuff. I want to ask him about that famous Bush push USC Notre Dame game and what it's like. Because does anybody have any idea what happened to Notre Dame after that football game? Anybody? Everybody remembers the game. Everybody remembers Charlie essentially got a huge contract extension after that game because we thought Notre Dame was back. What happened after that game? So we have Ohio State, Michigan, Bama, Auburn already had the Egg Bowl. We got Bedlam, Oklahoma State. We have so many Oregon State this week. Oregon obviously coming off of a loss. Got a massive, massive number of games. I got some Cowboys stuff for you. I got some Lakers stuff for you. I got Eric Wood for you. I got picks in the weekend's games. I got I feel like you're walking into one of those stores today and like, we have everything for you. It's all on discount. That's what it is. I'm a regular relative discount compared to Cowherd. Right? All right. Well, look, it's a mystery, this whole Justin Fields and Matt Nagy thing. And was Matt Nagy supposed to be fired after the game yesterday? And is it simply a fairly unimpressive win over the Detroit Lions, which is enough to save his job?
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
The Bears won yesterday. Wah, wah. And it's always funny to me on how, like, we didn't have, you know, live sports with fans on TV for just about a year. Then we do. It's a day that's supposed to be dedicated to family and to food and, yeah, a little football. And every year you'll get the, why are the Lions on? Like yesterday was like perfect. Yeah, you know, so I coach youth sports. I have a basketball program. And one of the things you got to find in youth sports is you got to find the right level for each kid and each team. So in basketball, or at least at the club level, they'll have, I guess they have like something called copper, which is, okay, copper, bronze, silver, gold, and then sometimes they'll have platinum divisions. And what you have to do is you have to be realistic with your players, how good you are, because if you step into a platinum or a gold level deal and you got silver players, like, it's not going to be a fun hour. It's going to be miserable because they're just so much better. And you got to find the right level. I thought, and I know they didn't do it on purpose, but I thought the Lions and the Bears, that was the right level. Now those two teams are going to the playoffs this year, especially not the Lions. The Lions have been mostly competitive with mostly everybody that they've played, but in order to give them a legit chance, they got to play a silver level team. That's the Bears. Remember, the Bears, in addition to not being great on offense, they don't have their two best defensive players in terms of rushing the quarterback. You know, Khalil Mack out for the year. That's going to change you. So Matt Nagy said after the game, "I can't tell you how much this win means to me."
When there's distractions, which is in every sport, in all facts of life, there's always going to be distractions. It's how you handle them. But the reason why we got the win is because of how they handled the distractions. It's my job to make sure of honest and open communication. I just can't tell you how much this win means today to me because of what they did.
Matt Nagy talked about how proud he is of his team.
The only thing I can do is give complete appreciation and thanks to the players and coaches. This is a special group across the board. You know, obviously stating the obvious, we've been through some stuff, the distractions the last couple of days, but it just proves to who they are, what type of fighters they are, what type of winners they are. And there's just an appreciation that I and we as coaches have for them because they're the ones that had to go out and do it today.
Here's him talking about the turmoil of the week.
So there was a report that came out that was false, and that's where it started. And then we had practice, and we continued with our days, and we had our practices like we normally would. And I cleared it up with the team. And then, as I think everybody is aware, the next day, George came in and had a good talk with the team and confirmed that that was true. And then we went about our business.
So he's like, look, I had to call my boss. You almost had to do, it's like having to do three-way calling. She said she likes you. I don't know, man. I'll call. Let me just call her. Okay. Let me click over. Put yourself on mute. Don't talk. And you'll hear her say she likes you. You ever do party line when you were a kid? You nod in your head. You did party line. How weird is it to try and mention these things to your children now, by the way? Forget about trying to get their own line, right? Like I remember my sister talking my parents into getting her own phone line when she was like 14 years old because you used to not have call waiting. Then you had call waiting, which was you had call waiting. Whoa. Hey, then you had three-way calling. But all this was from a landline. Like now you can do it from your cell phone. You can be anywhere in the world doing it. So hard to imagine these things where you had to call. And no, I'm not old enough to have the break-in call. You know, can you call phone number 8 and have break-in? But that's what it feels like here. Matt Nagy confirmed today that Justin Fields has cracked ribs. He'll start as soon as he's cleared medically. So I think a lot of people wonder, what the heck's going on? Why didn't they have a better plan for Justin Fields? And the answer is, Matt Nagy meant what he said. He wasn't going to start or play Justin Fields this year, or especially early in the season. And we talk about open lines of communication. I'm sure it was openly communicated to Justin. I don't know if it was to the owner, and I definitely don't know if it was to the fans. But the simple guess is Nagy was his last year in Kansas City. Okay, remember, that's Mahomes sat out for 15 games, 16 weeks, and then started week 17. And you know what they didn't do when he started week 17? They didn't change the offense to tailor it to Pat Mahomes. They made a couple plays here or there. But the idea was that they wanted to make him fit what they were doing. It just would take some time to do so, and they had Alex Smith in the meantime. That's what he wanted to do in Chicago. Well, why didn't you run read option, and why didn't you? Because that wasn't the plan. Plan was to make him into a better version of anything they'd had being quarterback of their offense. Well, you like the offense or don't like the offense? Whatever you think of it, you're allowed to. But imagine if you got a plan, like, all right, like this is a season-long thing, and we're just going to work with the kid and get him ready, you know, to start at the end of the year, and then starting next year, it'll be his team, and he'll already have played a year within this offense and watched and figured things out and whatever. Like, that's the plan. The Pat Mahomes plan is the plan. Got it? Yes. And then the owner's like, hey, I want you to play that guy that you said you weren't going to play because I drafted him and I want him to play. And you can tell, it's like, you can tell your boss as much as you want, like, but wait, we spent all this time on this one project. It was all ready to go. We're all lined up. It's a 1 year process. And like, that's fine. I don't want you to, I change. Change. So, and I don't think there's a couple things. Are there always going to be guys that are haters of their head coach that aren't playing enough, aren't getting enough opportunity, think that a head coaching change should be made? Sure. And I don't know what's real and what's not in Chicago, whether or not they fought for him or just fought for their job, or the reason they were so lackluster up until the end of the game was they really don't care if Matt Nagy stays or Matt Nagy goes. But it is a distraction, and it is really hard to function when everywhere you go, everything you turn on is talking about your head coach. And even with the Lions coming up, then it kind of gets in your head like, wait, they think we're going to lose to the Lions? And then you are down to the Lions as a chance you would lose the game. Matt Nagy's not fired yet. Leaking stories which aren't true doesn't, when they become true, doesn't give you affirmation. It doesn't give you confirmation. It just became a spitball story which seemed to rattle the Bears because the Bears thought they had a plan. Then the plan changed, and now their season's gone to hell in a handbasket, and you've thrown kind of a live grenade into their coaches' offices thinking, well, just because we haven't had a meeting doesn't mean they haven't had meetings, and just because we don't know doesn't mean they're not telling us. That's the problem.